They carry out silver and gold and all these goods from Egypt, and they're making their escape. They're making their exodus out of Egypt. Well, after a time, Pharaoh, he relinquishes his decision to let them go. I guess he had freer's remorse that he's given away all his labor source. They're leaving the country. And so his heart is hard again. And so he sends his army of chariots after the Israelite people. So the Hebrew nation is making their way, their escape, and they're coming, they're in the wilderness, and they come up to the Red Sea. And it's there that Pharaoh's army catches up to the Hebrews, to the children of Israel. And so you have this scene where the entire nation of Israelites is trapped between the Red Sea and those waters and the pursuing army. And there's no way out of this trap. And the presence of the Lord, which is seen in a pillar or of fire at night or a cloud during the day, goes between the camps of Egypt and the camps of Israel and makes a safe way for them during the night. So Moses goes and raises his staff over the waters of the Red Sea. And the Lord parts the sea by sending a strong wind, a strong east wind, some translations say. And it blows all night long, walling up the water of the Red Sea and making a dry path through the middle of the sea. Well, the entire Israelite nation, the next day, they follow this impossible escape route through the sea, and Egypt's army is in hot pursuit. But when all of Israel arrives safely to the other side, the Lord stops holding back the waters, and Pharaoh's army is swept away and destroyed. That is the story of the Exodus in a nutshell, Calvin's 2.5-minute version. Well, now, why do I want to talk about Exodus on Sunday morning of Easter? I think some people are not aware how the life of Jesus Christ and in the writings of the New Testament, it also tells the story of the Exodus, I believe, or the story of a new Exodus. So Moses foretold a new Moses was going to show up one day. In Deuteronomy 18, he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." And the Lord said to me, "I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command him." So that is this prophecy. So this story of Exodus, it begins with a baby floating down the Nile, the river Nile, and in a little basket. And then the story of the new Exodus also begins with a baby who is born in a manger. And the story of Exodus begins when Moses encounters God at this strange sight of a burning bush. And that bush is not consumed by the fire, but it's just this fire burning there. And God speaks to Moses from the burning bush. And he sends Moses out from the mountain of God, from the presence of God, from that place, Horeb, the mountain of the Lord, or Mount Sinai, it's called in other places. He sends Moses on a rescue mission to go out from that place to go get his people and bring them back to that place. So the mountain of the burning bush, my clicker stopped again. The mountain of the, can you forward to the slide? There it goes. The mountain of the burning bush is the same place as the mountain of the Ten Commandments. Probably a lot of you already knew that. God answered, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain, at the same place. In the same way, the new Moses was sent from heaven to gather God's people and lead them out of their slavery and bring them back to the very presence of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. It's this story of a divine rescue mission. So Exodus chapter 15 says this, with your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, reserved for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. And then all the way in the other end of the Bible, we read these words. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. So that's the goal of this divine rescue mission, to find ourselves together with God again, to be together with the Lord, and to follow the new Moses back to where he came from, not from just Sinai, but from heaven itself. The problem, of course, is that it's a perilous journey fraught with many dangers. And I would say the greatest danger for those of us who are immersed in American culture now tends to be things like our own pride, our comfort, our constant distractions, our attention spans that are ever shrinking. See, a lot of people think that the biggest thing that they have to worry about is just trying to keep comfortable until death. And death is the great enemy. But according to the Bible, death is not your greatest enemy. Death isn't the result of physical frailty or old age. Biblically speaking, death is a judicial verdict handed out as the consequence for rebellion against God. So the biggest problem each of us is facing is not that someday you're going to die. That's the symptom of the problem. The biggest problem you're facing is your own sinfulness. And even though we live in a world that hardly recognizes sin as an issue, it's your fallen sinful nature and your own corrupt desires that pull you deeper and deeper into your own lusts and passions and bring you to despair and into slavery and depravity. So we don't talk about a sin crisis, but we talk about other kinds of crises in our world, a mental health crisis, or addiction crisis, a political crisis, a financial crisis. These are the kinds of categories that we kind of tend to talk about things of crises, housing crisis. Well, there are a lot of people who live in this world who don't think sin is that big a deal, but everyone knows somehow, inherently, that this world is whack. Everyone can feel that there's something broken. Everyone can feel like sometimes it just feels like we're being manipulated somehow, like a puppet on the strings. And it feels like the system is rigged to benefit just a few and not everyone. And it feels like somehow things are broken in this world. I think we all have a sense of that in some way or another. And so a question I ask you is this, do we ever feel caught between your old life of sin and slavery and the chaos and unknown of changing to actually become a new kind of person, a new kind of person who walks a new kind of exodus. Like Israel was caught in a trap between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, enemy armies are pursuing us from behind to pull us back into slavery. And we are a people who are trying to make our escape from slavery. But ahead of us is this impenetrable barrier of death, and there is no way through this barrier. That is where we are as human beings. You could say it this way. We are caught between a rock and a hard place. You heard that expression? But I'm glad you're here this morning, because this church, by the grace of God, is making a prison break where everything in this world and all the strategies of this world, they're ultimately a dead end. We are a people making a new exodus together with our new Moses, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only pathway to freedom and safety for any of us is Jesus' own crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus Christ is the only way to make your exodus out of the old creation and into the new creation. An exodus out of slavery and death and sin and spiritual bondage and into life and freedom. By his own death, Jesus opens a new and life-giving way, the author of Hebrews tells us. So just as Moses raises his hand and his staff over the sea, and the Lord opens up a path through the water, so the new Moses says, when I am lifted up from the earth, of course on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself. John chapter 12. You see, the story for us is that the Passover lamb of our new exodus is Jesus Christ. And this new exodus isn't just for one nation or some people. This new exodus is for everyone who comes by faith, and by faith walks the path of the wilderness path of the new exodus. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The end of the story tells us this. It's bigger than just one group and one people. It is for all who have the courage to walk the path of the new exodus. The old exodus was a prelude to the bigger story of what God is doing in this world. And one picture I wanted to share that shares this story of Exodus is from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6. If you don't know much about Paul, maybe some of you would know that he was a persecutor of the church, and he started out as an enemy of the church. But the resurrected Christ, he appears to Paul, and it changes everything, the trajectory of Paul's life completely. And so then in Romans chapter 6, Paul tells this story. Paul says that baptism, it retells the story of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. But baptism by immersion also tells the story of the new exodus that we're making. Our escape from slavery, we pass through the waters, a way that shouldn't have been there, that we didn't know was there. And we come out of those waters and into a new life of freedom and God's presence. That's the story that's being told in baptism. And the resurrection, because of the way that that Jesus picked out Paul and ransomed him from the life he was living, the resurrection was everything to the Apostle Paul. It permeated everything, every part of his thinking was with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the center of what he was teaching. So he says these words in Romans 6, "Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." So Thursday night, John and Mackenzie Patrick were baptized into the body of Christ. Praise God. And that story of death and burial and resurrection is being told in that event. That story of new exodus, an escape story, a prison break, so to speak, is being told every time we baptize someone. The story is told in other ways as well, the story of resurrection by what we celebrate each week in the Lord's Supper. Resurrection is bigger than just Easter for us. It's something we celebrate constantly, and it's constantly before us. So, like Israel was caught in a trap between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, you're caught between your old life of slavery and the barrier of death that cannot be crossed. But Jesus crossed the barrier of death, and we celebrate that because he invites us into that. And the very sacraments we practice as a church tell that story of resurrection. All humanity has been trapped, and we are seeking to follow the way that Jesus shows us how to escape. So let me make one more spiritual application on this story for our time together this morning. We're all trapped between the armies of slavery to sin and the Red Sea barrier of death in front of us that cannot be crossed. But our new Moses has indeed been lifted up, and the Holy Spirit of the living God has made a way forward where we didn't even know there was a way. So I don't usually bore you with these kind of things, but it's really good. So the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. It's translated variously as spirit or wind or breath. All the same word. It's ruach. I don't know exactly how to say it, but can you imagine a person saying just with a lot of guttural ruach? Almost like they're spitting when they're doing it. So ruach, the Hebrew word for spirit, wind, and death. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with ruach. Ruach blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through in the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. The story of Exodus. And this is from Exodus chapter 15, which is a song of deliverance. This poetic song is some of the oldest Hebrew writing of the Bible. But that same word, that same spirit who breathed and made a way, isn't done with the story of Exodus. That same breath of God is still doing a work. At the blast of your breath, ruach, The waters piled up. The surging waters stood straight like a wall. In the heart of the sea, the deep waters became hard. Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Spirit who makes the way of Exodus makes the new Exodus path through human hearts and in human lives. The same Holy Spirit who parted the waters of the Red Sea makes a path, who makes a path where there is no path, is the same Spirit living in us as disciples of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us the way of Jesus in human hearts. That is the story of the new Exodus. It's the story of Easter, the story of resurrection. It's the story of our escape from slavery and into the freedom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to actually choose to walk this path by yourself. Well, you do it together with people, but you have to make the choice of getting on that path. You have to make the choice of staying on that path. No one else can do it for you. The way that you and I walk the new Exodus path is by continually putting to death every sinful disposition you carry in your life. All sexual immorality, all lying, violence, greed, selfish living, self-seeking. You put all of those things to death. And through the same Spirit, who is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we walk the same pathway that Christ Himself walked. And along this pathway, we're fed and we're sustained, and there's all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit that are growing along this pathway of our new Exodus out of slavery and into the freedom of our Savior Jesus Christ. Or to use Paul's words, he says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because a higher desire has taken the place of the desires of the flesh." So it is this glorious path of our new Exodus. So the prophet Isaiah and then later John the Baptist, they make this proclamation. These are prophetic words. A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of Adonai and make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Those words are for Jesus, but they are also for all of us who through the power of the Holy Spirit strive to follow the pathway of Jesus Christ. I am the way that has been prepared. No one comes to the Father except by this Exodus path, this new way. So the question that I want to end with this morning is this. There is a pathway in your own confused and deceitful and hard broken heart. A path beyond your fear and doubts. A path that moves beyond your grief and your pain. A path out of sin, out of your own sin and shame. A path that moves you beyond your temptations. It is, of course, the new Exodus, the way of Jesus Christ. And it is a path through human hearts. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. We didn't even know it was there. We thought we were trapped with no escape. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep. That is what's available to us. And it is the only way you're going to make your escape. Because there is no other rescue plan other than Jesus Christ Himself. So our question that we end with this morning is this: will you walk this resurrection path of the heart together with the people of the way? You know, before we were referred to as Christians, we were just called the way. Because we are a people who seek to walk this path of death and burial and resurrection. And Paul talks about that all the time. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His rising, to have fellowship with Him in His sufferings and become like Him in His death, so that when I pour out my life, I will be filled with His Spirit. The life that I now live, Galatians tells us, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what God, through Jesus Christ, makes available to us. God bless you, and happy Easter. But your life hinges on this question. Will you follow this pathway of the heart, a way made by your Savior? That is the hope that we proclaim and that we carry. So if this church can be a help to you in some way, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, which is a telling of this story of the new Exodus, if you want prayers, you can find me up here and just come and let me know some way I can help you. But let's go ahead now and stand and sing our invitation song together.